Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our guest is Zola Molloy, and Zola is a very interesting individual. I'm really looking forward to discussion with her. Zola had been abducted by both aggressive and peaceful ET beings since she was a child. She had been taken up and inducted into the secret space program and has been used to carry out certain types of missions. She's experienced MyLab, MK Ultra experiences and manipulation, and also dealt with MI5, and has also had issues and experiences with clones. And I've got some things to say about that as well. Her YouTube channel is Starseed Voyager. And we'll provide a link to her YouTube channel. So, without any further ado, Zola Molloy, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Hello, James. It's good to see you. I've been looking forward to coming to, speak to you and do this interview. So, yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it will be. Are you working on a book about your experiences?
I am. Yes, it's I've been working on it for about 10 years. Books. I've kind of completed it in the sense where I've written down everything or typed everything down that I wanted to type. So basically, I'm at the editing stages now,
Oh, good.
and I think that's actually harder than actually the writing because yeah. So hopefully, a little joke. It's going to take another 10 years. No, it's a joke. It's not going to take another 10 years. So hopefully, within the next year, realistically, it should be ready, and then I'm going to put it on Amazon for people to see if they wish to, of course, have a little look in it and stuff. So yeah, finally getting there, and then I can start my second book because I'm more eager, excited to start my second book, really. The first book's going to be more about my upbringing, the abuse, the cycles, the mundane matrix kind of things and trauma, with a few little out there experiences in there as well. I just felt strongly guided to get that kind of side of things in there to help, for people see the bigger picture instead of just jumping in and be like, oh, I've experienced this, woo, 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 woo,
Yes,
woo.
there's got to be
Yeah. I
context.
mean,
I mean,
yeah. I mean,
like when I've read books, a lot of times, especially in narrative history, like the first page, the first chapter is some kind of far out adventure right off the bat, and then
yeah.
after several pages, here comes the backstory, right? And it's funny because I'm writing my book,
Ah, it's
and
amazing.
It's the similar thing. One of the things that I don't want to say I've disliked about reading certain books, but oh, here's the interesting first chapter. Now here's the backstory, right? And then I'm doing my book, and it's shaping up the same way. Where I'm, okay, here we are now. How did we get here? Kind of thing. You know what I mean? So I know exactly how you feel, and I'm glad that we're having this discussion because more and more, the topic of UFOs, aliens, alien life forms, it's becoming more acceptable in the mainstream, so-called. And what I would like to see more of is are people like yourself sharing their stories, because for some time now, we've seen them develop this priesthood of these go-to people who are the so-called experts who are framing a narrative, framing the debate essentially of what is acceptable, what is unacceptable, and that's what we've been trying to get away from all this time, right? So, tell us about yourself, about what you just mentioned, about your last book, about your childhood, the signs along the way in your voyage of discovery. You've got the floor, Zola.
So with the first book, okay, so basically, do you want me to talk about what's in the book, or do you just want me to just basically share some of my
Oh
experiences, I
yeah,
guess,
just
isn't it?
share whatever you feel comfortable sharing, yeah.
So I am the oldest of six on my mum's side, and I didn't see straight away too much of strange things happening around my family, like in the beginning stages anyway. We're obviously growing up when I was very young. I think I'm trying to think how old I was. I think I was probably about 11 or 12, and my mum was just obsessed with watching sci-fi movies and Alien, and she'd talk about things like that, and she'd share her experiences that she had herself and her friends had, and she would talk about her own experiences. So I kind of became accustomed to that kind of energy and theme. So that was kind of like my normal. And then I started to have my own experiences. So the first extraterrestrial experience that I remember, I was around the ages of 9 years old, and I went to bed, and I was always that one kid. I was the only one out of all my siblings that was, I don't know if you've heard of this phase, phrase, but night owl. So up all night, a zombie in the day, and just really tuned into the nighttime energies, and I always struggled to sleep. This one particular night, well, I was always drawn to sit on my window ledge and look out and look up into the stars. I was just always obsessed and drawn to the stars. So I did that routinely every night, and I remember this one particular night I was drawn to look higher up into the sky, and as I did, I saw this, well, I thought it was a star at first, this big bright star, and it was just flashing, and I just couldn't take my eyes off it. And the only way to explain it was like I was magnetically drawn to this star. Some form of telepathy was going on as well, and I just couldn't pull my energy or focus away from the star. And I watched this star, and it just got brighter, and it came closer and closer and closer, and I just remember I was mesmerized. And then all of a sudden, this star, obviously wasn't a star, just jumped. It jumped and shot across the sky, and I was just like, wow, like it was just, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And then as it shot across the sky, I just remember it just stopping, just all of a sudden, very, very quick, like that. And then it kind of zoomed in, it came closer to me, quite close, in fact. It was literally just behind my back garden wall, and I had a very small back garden. So I don't know if I had to say in yards or feet, I don't know, probably about 40 feet away. And so it zoomed in, and then the lights changed. And then it was like it was doing a little performance for me. And I just remember being this 9-year-old little kid. I was so excited, and I was waiting for it to do something, and it was. And so the star kind of it ascended, it went up super quick again, and then it sort of morphed and shifted, shifted its form. So then all of a sudden it went from this one light to three lights, and I remember it was like a triangle. And then it started moving and changing, and it was just doing this big show. And then it shot up again in the sky. I remember it at times it lit the sky up as well. And then all of a sudden it kind of just it lowered down, and then it just shot straight down to the ground. And I remember on the window ledge, and I was looking up to see, like, oh, well, where is it? I couldn't see because of the trees and that. And I did feel drawn to actually go outside and walk up to it, but I couldn't. And I remember just sitting there, waiting for it to just, rise up again. And eventually it did. And then when it did, it kind of, again, it shot up halfway in the sky and, did some more maneuvers. And then lastly, it just shot super fast, lit the sky up. And thinking about it now, I remember when it landed, I mentioned it was there for a little while. It must have, I couldn't see it. So it was obviously in the field somewhere because I used to live near some fields. So it was sat there for a good couple of minutes. And I feel like something happened within those minutes. I don't know if they had taken me, but there's just something missing. I knew there was something more going on. And I remember when they disappeared and shot up into the sky, all of a sudden I started crying. I had a very strong emotional connection to this ship, and I was crying and I felt homesick. And I remember this strong feeling. So obviously, a lot of people know telepathy isn't just, thought to thought, it's feelings, it's emotions, it's the whole shebang. And I was crying, and I actually begged for the ship to take me home, to take me with them. So that was a very profound, strong experience, for a 9-year-old. I was around 9 years old, and I'll never forget that experience. And I people might think I'm crazy, but I feel like that is my family. I'm part of them, whoever that particular race was. I do feel strongly connected to them. The strangest thing is, I don't remember actually telling my mum or anyone. I felt like, and it's weird, you think it makes sense now, it's almost like my higher self or subconscious was telling me, you can't share this experience with anyone, because you imagine a 9-year-old going through that experience. Imagine your son or someone, they'd be all excited, like, oh, mom, dad, I had this crazy experience and this happened. I don't remember telling my family, and I don't think I ever did tell my family. So that's strange. And so then I had other experiences. I had a lot of paranormal experiences, and I remember sitting at the table and sharing some of them with my mom. And then my mom actually shared something with me. She said that when I was a newborn baby, she'd go to bed. I'd be in my cot, my crib, and she would have a nightmare. And in this nightmare, there were men in my bedroom. And I, all of a sudden, I'd start screaming. And she described these men as a bit like men in black, suited and booted. And they were just in my room, just staring at me. And obviously, this scared my mom. And my mom, apparently, according to my mom, I was screaming in this nightmare. So then my mom woke up to actually hearing me screaming. So she gets up, she goes into my bedroom, and she says that I was just basically sat right up in the crib, just looked like I'd been crying for a long time. And my mom told me that my toys and teddies that were on the shelves around me were all on the floor. And of course, I couldn't have done that. I was a, you know, I think I was, I say newborn baby, I think I was probably actually a few months old, if my memory serves me correctly. And so, and it was just me and my mum in that flat. There was no way, that there was no logical reason for why all of a sudden these toys were on there. And so then my mum having this nightmare, it's kind of a bit strange. There was another incident as well where, again, it was in the same flat that me and my mum lived in. She was moving out. And so she was lifting all up the carpets to take to the new house. And when she lifted the carpet up, now I'm trying to remember what she said. She said it was either my bedroom or it was the lounge floor. She lifted the carpet up, and all of a sudden she saw a huge pentagram on the floor, which was not there when she moved in. She'd only been in that flat, I think, again, if my memory serves me correctly, 12 months. And I've got the chills now thinking about it. I couldn't tell you if it was upright, reversed. I suppose it depends on which way you want to look at it. It's in the middle of the room. It was massive, and it was sketched into the floorboards. So I didn't believe her, or at least I didn't want to believe her. And I remember when I was much older, I brought it up in conversation, and my mum says, "Well, if you don't believe me, Zoe, you can ask both your aunts. They're here now. They were there and witnessed it. They helped me move in, and they also helped me move out." And my aunties looked at me, and one in particular, one of my aunts, she looked at me and she went, "Zoe, that was not there when we helped your mum move in." And they of course, it's something they'll never forget neither. It's just very strange. And my mum, she's not into anything like that. She doesn't do magic. I think she played the Ouija board when she was younger, and that was quite bad. Apparently, her best mates that were playing it at the time, literally their hair went grey overnight. And she also lost a friend who was there, who attended the Ouija board session. So my mum has had some paranormal weird things as well around her ever since she was a child. I also had an experience. So I'll just move forward, because just quickly, because this happened whilst my mum was in the flat with me. So when I was in my early 20s, so when I was 21, I had my daughter. And I was li living in my flat at the time, which was also very haunted. And I'll get into that when I go back. But it was very haunted. And my daughter, she was in a crib, a swinging crib, a cot. And I went to sleep. And then I woke up. All of a sudden, I felt this presence in the room. And then I was drawn to look at my daughter's cot, which was at the side of my bed. I just want to quickly mention as well that my bedroom, it was quite barely lit up because we'd got street lights outside the window. So whatever, I saw, I got a good view of it, a silhouette. So I'm looking at my daughter's cot, and I see this tall black silhouette figure. And it got to have been at least 9 foot tall, if not taller. It was huge, very tall. And it was wearing, I couldn't see its face, so I could see its side profile, but I noticed it had like almost like a cloak, like a hooded cloak. So I'm not on about the Hat Man, because I know a lot of people see, report on that, don't they? Seeing the Hat Man. It wasn't that. It was like a hooded cloak. And I tried to see if I could see the hands. It was just black. It was just, there was no, I couldn't see any features or anything. It was just black. I could clearly see it was a very tall, hooded entity, being whatever you want to call it. And I say he, I always sensed it was a male, but he was leaning over my daughter's crib, and he was just there for ages staring at her. And then all of a sudden, I went into some kind of paralysis. And I couldn't move, but of course, I could still see, and I was very conscious of what was going on. And then the next thing I experienced, it was like it was either his energy or another energy had stepped in, a very strong, powerful energy. And the only way to explain it was like just peace, love, relaxation. It felt like there was something behind me, and it wrapped its wings around me and just, hugged me. And I just remember lying there feeling so peaceful. And then I drifted off and fell asleep. And then I woke up the next morning. Of course, I remembered what had happened. I knew it was real. I knew it wasn't my imagination. I immediately got up and I rung my mum on the phone, and I told my mum everything, what had happened that night. And she went quiet on the phone. And I was like, "What? Why are you quiet?" She went, "I'm just, you've just brought back a memory from, just brought back a memory." And I was like, "Right, okay, what's that?" She says, "Everything you've just described, Zola, is exactly what happened with me when you was the same age as Lucy, so a newborn baby." And then she goes on and describes exactly the same thing. She wakes up, she looks over at my cot, and she sees again the same tall silhouette figure of this being leaning over. And I remember I got the chills, and I was like, "What?" No, she was like, "I'm not joking, Zoe, I'm being serious." And I was like, "Wow." And so I remember as well when I had that experience seeing that with my daughter, I remember clearly hearing and seeing the words in my mind, the words and hearing, so the word was watcher, as in the watchers. Now, I never knew what that meant or what they were. It wasn't until much later that I actually come across that word. I'm sure you know that as well, the watchers. I don't know if they're good or bad, or both. I don't know, but I just remember, it's like I just know the watchers. And then I can't say for sure, 100% if this is correct, the next bit I'm going to tell you, but I feel strongly connected to that being, almost like family. And after diving into the energies and the memories, I've come to the conclusion, again, if I'm correct, that this is a member of my soul group family. And basically what he was doing is, and what he also did with me when I was a baby, is he came down to check that both my daughter and my frequency was correctly attuned to this avatar body. So people might be a little bit confused with what I mean, but then I suppose many people have probably heard of the term starseed as well. And it's something that that term, that word starseed, took me a lot of years to accept, because I didn't want to believe. I knew I was different, not better, but I knew I was very different from a lot of regular humans, with my experiences, as my understanding, my perspectives, my beliefs, and just everything. I've just felt very alien on this planet, and I still do. Yeah, it's been difficult. I was that, I guess, square trying to fit into a circle, or whatever that saying is, all my life. I was in denial. I kept pushing and pushing and pushing against my mission, my purpose, why I'm here, who I am, my experiences. I was like, no, it didn't happen. It was all illusions. It's all fake, and this, that, and the other. But every time I went into those energies and I lowered my frequency and went into that 3D lower frequency human mindset, then I would start to experience more bigger, profound experiences. It's almost like my family was saying, we've got a sleeper here. We've got another one sleeping, getting sucked into the matrix. We need to give her a wake-up call. Boom, this will wake her up. Because all my experiences, James, have been huge. They've been profound. And I no longer, fall back into the matrix. I'm fully out of the matrix. And obviously, you know what that means. Like, I don't fall for the lies that we have been taught and fed. There's a lot of trick, excuse me, a lot of trickery, illusions, deception, propaganda on this planet. And so I'm fully, out of that, and I guess integrated into what you see now. And so that's amazing. But it was very hard. It was very difficult. It is very difficult. But I'm not the only one, of course. There's many of us. There's millions of us, like myself, that have gone through these experiences and still going through these experiences. So they were some of my earlier experiences. I didn't speak until I was 8 years old. I was completely mute. I remember my mum actually believed that I was deaf at one point. She went to get my hearing checked and everything was fine. So then the next thing was, she took me to see a speech therapist, and they didn't help me either. And it was very frustrating, because I remember now, even at that age, 8 and below, I remember everyone not understanding me. My mum could understand me to a certain degree. If I needed something, if I wanted something, I would point, and she kind of worked with me to the best that she could. So she understood the basic needs. But I knew and felt that everyone felt that I was kind of slow, a little bit stupid, a bit behind. And it was actually quite the opposite. I was very conscious. Even though I couldn't speak, I understood, what people were saying. I was very conscious, very conscious, even though I struggled to form words. But what was happening is, I was trying to communicate through telepathy with people around me, and I was getting frustrated. Now, a lot of children on this planet are autism, or some kind of, very slow in their development. And then of course, they get stamped and labeled, don't they, with, oh, you've got spectrum this and you've got autism that. And many souls like me have falsely been diagnosed with these labels. And I understand on a deeper level of what's going on. So, of course, when a child's acting up, being naughty, the parents think, oh, they just think their kid's being naughty. It's like, no, they're not. They're frustrated, especially if they're struggling to verbalize and talk. They're very frustrated because no one's understanding them. They're very misunderstood. And the reason why they act out and get very irritated, and they're very sensitive to noise and touch and smell, it's because they're a very high frequency soul in a human body, having a human experience. For whatever reason, they've got their own missions. And so their surroundings and this earthly environment is just it's too much for them. It's like cats have got acute hearing, haven't they? They've got, very sensitive hearing. And just with a drop of a pin, some cats are just very likely, they've got their back up, haven't they? Just imagine that for these souls that are on this planet.
The energies here are
So
very dense also.
Absolutely. So there is a connection. With autism, ADHD, and things like that. Again, it's the matrix coming up with these false labels to make regular humans think, oh, there's just something wrong with them, with these children. And of course, then before you know it, they're giving parents, all these tablets, and what these tablets are doing with these children. Yes, of course, they are helping, but it's also doing damage at the same time. It's actually dampering their frequency and things like that. But that's a whole other topic. I don't know why I'd wanted to delve deep into that. Sometimes I do that because I just get, feel like I'm guided to speak more on certain things.
Well,
I get run over.
significant, because you would have been like a mega intake of stimuli, of information. And you were talking about the psychic intuitive aspect. It is much more than just telepathy and intuition. It's picking the old term a lot of mystics and seers used was picking up impressions in the environment, from people, from the ground. Like a lot of Native American scouts, right, in the old days when some of them were, working as scouts for the federal army, warring against other Indian tribes, Native American tribes. These Native American scouts were famous for, getting off their horse and then, laying down and putting their ears to the ground. And a lot of people that didn't know any better just thought, well, they're, looking for prints all the time, hoof prints. They're trying to pick up vibrations from horse, stampeding here or there. But a lot of times also they were literally picking up impressions that were left over by people or horses and people that had passed by, right? And they were very precise. They came by an hour ago, they came by, 2 days ago, or and that's how they read, right, the terrain. But the terrain, there's an energetic terrain as well as a physical terrain, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because some animals are the same. It's like dogs. If they you're taking your dog for a walk in the park and they're sniffing at this lamppost or something, I guess smelling another dog's pee, they're very psychic as well. So what's going on in their mind is, well, they know, they understand how long ago this dog was there. And I believe they get mental images and they get information. I read something so fascinating about that, and it just makes sense,
They would. They
animals
would be
too.
able to identify, okay, that dog I'm sniffing right there is the same one that left the mark on that lamppost. That's the sucker that did it, right? And also what they found out was the squeals that cetaceans give to one another, dolphins, porpoises, and orcas. It's been postulated that the squeals are a form of burst transmission. Where you have this incredibly like dense, multi-layered thought form sent out in the form of squeals, which when received by other members of their pod, right, and probably other dolphins or porpoises not even in their pod, miles away, underwater, that signal is converted into a 3D picture. So they're not only just communicating like verbally, audibly through sound waves. These dolphins with their massive craniums may be able to send themselves real-time 3D images of not only their surroundings, but maybe even like an entire thought form. Okay. It's like me telling you a story. They can potentially tell things like this, but with an image background to their fellow cetaceans, which to me is astonishing. But I think that, if we were left alone and unhindered by these archontic beings, I think we would have trended in that direction, back to that direction, is what we used to be like,
Absolutely.
right?
Absolutely. We let's just say our growth's been stunted in more ways than one, which we'll probably get into that right now. But we know what's been going on there. But we are way behind, apparently, at least by a couple or a few hundred years, maybe more. I don't know. But we are definitely behind. Yeah, absolutely. Because it just goes to show, we're all capable. We all have abilities, but we've been manipulated, haven't we, energetically, spiritually, consciously, and people now are starting to I guess wake up. They're starting to activate, they're starting to tap into those abilities because of the ascension, the movement that's going on right now, and yeah, these energies, these light codes, these solar flares, flashes, whatever you want to call them, these high frequency energies hitting the planet. It's affecting everything that exists on the planet. We're going along with Mother Gaia for the ride, and she's going through changes as well. And so we're upgrading, we're activating, we're consciously awakening, waking up, sorry. And there's certain forces on this planet that don't want that. They want us to keep us on a low frequency. They want to keep us slaves to the matrix. They don't want us to be more powerful than them, because the truth is, humanity are a lot more powerful than these beings, and they know it. So this is why they have to manipulate us. But anyway, yeah, it's just a lot going on right now, isn't it? And many are waking up to that. And if they're not, then we'll one day they will do. The penny will drop. It'll be their turn, and they'll start questioning the big, universal questions: Who am I? What am I? What's my purpose? What's going on here? Why do I feel different? They're the first subtle signs of changes that are going on within them, and it's just blatantly obvious, on the planet with what's unfolding. A lot of catastrophic things happening, a lot of doom and gloom and negativity. That alone is also making people question things. They're starting to see the patterns, aren't they? What's going on here? Why is it all, doom and gloom and, negativity? And why do these beings that pretend to have humanity's best interests at heart, create fear all the time? But anyway, you understand this, and it's
Well,
amazing
also,
to see people.
from a soul memory standpoint, oversoul especially, a lot of us had been through this before. We've gone through extinction level events in previous incarnations, previous past parallel in incarnations, where some of us have perished during one or more of the Atlantean civilization endings, if you want to call it that, and other times, Atlantis being a generic term for this global advanced civilization that Graham Hancock and others talk about. So this is not even our first barbecue as far as so-called end times extinction level event type scenarios are concerned. I mean, as recently as the Younger Dryas impact event, the geological time, that was not too long ago. And we're right on the cusp again. Along those lines, have you ever had any futuristic dreams of catastrophes, of like apocalyptic kind of scenarios, nuclear wars or alien invasions, and anything of that nature?
I just want to quickly say before I answer your question. With the like we've been here before, we've been at this stage before, haven't we? Like, as you just mentioned, with ancient Lemurian times or Atlantean times. So a lot of us, if we don't remember on a conscious level, our DNA, our very, blueprint essence DNA, cells remember this, and so their cells are waking up, DNA's activating, and it's coming back. It's helping with our memories as well. But to answer your question, I have, yes, I've had many, for as long as I can remember, ever since I was a young child, I always had those types of dreams. Tsunamis, floods, earthquakes, lots of alien extraterrestrial dreams. The bad guys coming and chasing us in the streets, shooting beams from their ships, and tricking people to get onto the ships so they can abduct them. And I'm talking like, big masses and groups. I had a profound experience. I don't know if you want to call it the end of the world, but I did have an experience where, so I went to bed one night, and I left my body because I astral travel pretty much most nights, as most of us do. It's just many don't remember, or they just put it down to it's just a dream. So I immediately left my body, and then all of a sudden I was in the future, but in the same house that I'm in now. Excuse me. And so in this dream experience, I woke up from my bed because I was awakened by a lot of rumbling and shaking and noises and commotion, you know, that was going on outside. I remember it was very early hours in the morning. It was starting to get light, so probably around 3 or 4 in the morning. And I immediately jumped out of bed and I peeked through my blinds, and I could see in my little cul-de-sac where I live, there's about 18, 19 houses. In the middle, I could see a lot of military vehicles, a lot of soldiers geared up, you know, typical soldier military uniform. And what I saw was them kick, scream. There was a lot of screaming and shouting, and I saw them kicking down people's front doors and dragging the women and children out. And I knew in that moment, in that experience, in that dream experience, I remember, because it was playing out like it was real. It was like a real video. I was there in the future. And obviously I know now, you know, what it meant. So anyway, going back to that experience, I remember standing there and I said to myself, I'm trying to remember exactly the words that I used, but I think it was like, it's now, it's happening, I'm ready. Yeah. So bearing in mind, I had this dream experience. This was at least 8 years ago. So it was a long time ago. So of course I wasn't as conscious as I am now. So it didn't make any sense. But now how things are unfolding, it's kind of making sense. And this is a potential timeline. This doesn't mean to say what I'm going to say is going to happen. So anyway, going back to that dream experience, I remember I just knew, I remember saying, like I knew what I saw and what was happening. I knew it was going to happen as well. It's like I was ready. So then I go into my daughter's room and I wake her up, and I'm like, you know, I call my daughter's name. It's like, you need to get up. It's now, it's happening. It was very rush, rush, rush. And my daughter obviously knew. I must have given a heads up. And I noticed at the end of, I've got the chills as well when I'm talking about this. And that's that confirmation chills. So to me, that means it's like this is still a potential timeline as I'm speaking about it. Yeah. So I remember looking at the end of my daughter's bed, and there was a pile of clothes. So we knew that that day was going to happen any day. We've got our clothes ready to just whip on, you know. And anyway, so I don't think we had time to actually get changed. So I remember we left the clothes because the noise, the movement of where they were coming closer more to my end. So again, it was very, very quick. So I grabbed my daughter. I was like, just don't say anything, just keep quiet, just follow me, keep calm. So we run down the stairs, and then we walked in the hallway. And to my right, under the stairs, I've got a cupboard. And so I needed to get our bug bags, or whatever you call them over there, or to-go bags, if you like, that we pre-prepped, got everything in there. And so as I opened the door, I could hear movement coming towards my door. So I quickly opened the door. I remember for a split moment, I was like, oh crap, where do we go? Do I continue to get my bag, or do I try and escape out the back? But it just happened all too quick. So I remember I opened the door, I swung me and my daughter into the cupboard, and then I slowly closed the door. Now, this next thing that happened is very interesting. All of a sudden, my consciousness left my body, and now, so my body was in the downstairs toilet, but my consciousness was now in the hallway, looking at, you know, seeing movement basically at my front door, because I've got a window at my front door, so I could see a silhouette. And all of a sudden, a soldier kicks down my front door, or doesn't kick it down, but you know, kicks it open. And he starts to make his way to the hallway. And I remember my consciousness, my astral self, if you like, was seeing it unfold. And I was like, oh, no, please don't come into the downstairs toilet. Please don't. I've got the chills now. And I'm watching him, and he's looking around, and he's like creeping. And he comes to the downstairs toilet, and he touches the handle, and then he goes to open it, and I'm like, and then all of a sudden there was shouting outside the house. So I'm assuming it was another one of the soldiers that called his name. They were foreign, by the way. I just want to say they weren't English. They were foreign soldiers. And obviously he was calling his name because all of a sudden he released the handle, and you can just imagine me, I was just like, oh. And then he turns and he walks out, and then I'm back in my body. So then I grabbed my bag and I said to my daughter, you know, we've got to go. We need to be as quiet as we can. So we both come out of the downstairs toilet, and we creep into the living room, and I slowly open the patio doors and I creep out into the garden. I slowly peek over the fence, and I can see obviously all the military. There was like a bus, type military bus, and some other military vehicles, and they were just, again, just there were children and people screaming and being dragged out of their homes. It was horrific to hear that, the distress and people. And then I remember thinking, right, we need to get out of this garden, because at the back of my garden there's a little bit of like what do you call it, like a little bit of nature which leads onto the back of a warehouse. So I was like, how are we going to get over that other side of the gate, because we can't climb over it, they're going to see us. So then I the only other option I had was to lift up the fence from underneath just enough. I mean, if they were looking, they probably would see this gate, you know, rising up. But I guess I thought it'd probably better than seeing two, you know, people getting over. Anyway, so we lift it up, we squeeze through, and now we're on the other side. And I remember just looking, and I remember seeing my cat Angel, bless her. She was trying to follow us and making noises, and I remember like going, shh, you know, like type thing. And she wanted to come with us, and it was so real, James. It was so real. One of the real experiences I've ever experienced. Like the. Even though I knew what was happening, there was still that level of fear. Like, what are we going to do? You know, it was just there. But I was strong. It was like I had to be strong for my daughter, and I had to really step into my role big time, you know, be the strong one. And so anyway, there's a little bit of a scene that's missing for whatever reason. I don't know, because all of a sudden, me and my daughter are standing behind this gate. And then the next scene is we're now stood at the front of the house. Oh, yeah, no, I did have a bit of memory come, actually. No, I do remember. I don't know why, but I think they were making their way out, coming out of the cul-de-sac. And we were, because at the back of my garden, there's like a little walkway that goes round. And I remember we were on our hands and knees, and we were literally crawling to get to the other side of the fence. And there's a hole in the fence. And I remember looking, and as I was looking, there was a soldier that was still there. He saw me and then grabbed me and my daughter. So then that me and my daughter then was in at the front of my house near my car parking spot. And then as I looked, I could still see, you know, there were still, you know, these soldiers were still walking out. The vehicles were still leaving, but there were a couple still there. I remember there was this small like bus that was there, and they were still dragging in the last remaining people in these buses. And I remember looking into this soldier's eyes, and I gave him that look of just like, I was just that deep, profound disappointment look in his eyes, hoping to see a glimpse of humanity in his eyes, you know, something, compassion, something. I gave him that look. It was almost like I was connected to him telepathically, because of course he didn't speak my language. So it was very interesting. And I remember looking at him, and I knew he felt something, because for a split moment I saw that behind his eyes, that human behind his eyes. And then all of a sudden it went. And then I remember looking up to the skies as if to say, and looking at him as if to say, you're in big trouble type thing. And then his energy just got very aggressive. And then he basically grabbed me by the shoulder, yanked my daughter, and pushed us onto this bus. And they didn't take us very far. they took us to, because where I live, it's kind of like the countryside, lots of villages and countryside. So they took us for a short little ride, and then we arrived at this field. And the only way to explain it was like something, this, what was there? So basically, what was there? It looked like a little FEMA camp, you know, tents. There were barbed wired fencing all around, you know, this field. It looked like it had been set up overnight, very quick. And I remember looking, and I could see that the people that they'd already captured before, they were all in this vicinity, this area. And I didn't notice when I first had this experience 8 or plus years ago. But I actually went back into this memory not too long ago, because I shared it on my channel with some other people. And what I did notice was there was no men there. It was women and, sorry, no children there, sorry. There was no children. It was only women and men. The children weren't there, which was a bit worrying, especially with what was unfolding on the planet and what we're hearing. Again, I didn't notice back then, because I didn't have anything else to highlight, you know, these things. My daughter, she's 16, she's 17 in October. So they didn't take my daughter away from me. So it kind of gives me an indication if this is to happen, roughly when. So my daughter in this experience, she was about 18, nearly 19, 18, 19. That kind of helped me a little bit. So this is why they didn't remove her, because technically she was too old. She's a teenager. They're like, I didn't want any, whatever they got planned, whatever they were doing with these children, I don't know. But they didn't want my daughter. She was, you know, she was older. So she was there with me. They pushed us into this area. And when we was in this area, I just could, it was almost, it was a mixture of people walking around in a trance, and a mixture of people just in pure panic, crying. Very, very confused, you know, dragged out of bed. I mean, this was early hours in the morning. Many of them are just very confused. But what I did notice was that they were all wearing brown. The only way to explain it is, you know, the old potato sacks, you know, the brown material. They were all wearing that, and they had no shoes on. And we must have had rain, because there were lots of puddles, and everyone's feet was all mucky and sludged and stuff like that. And me and my daughter, we were still wearing our, I guess, PJs or trackies and hoodie, because I'm a weirdo, I sleep like that. And I just remember just watching all these people. We were crammed in like sardines. We were just proper crammed in, and people were getting violent with others, and a lot of screaming and commotion and crying and upset, and you know, it was just really horrible. And I looked to one corner of this you know, this fenced off area portion of the field that we were now inside of, and there were people lining up, and there was one soldier, and I don't know what this means. Well, I guess I do, because I saw it, but it was just very, I think it's bizarre. But anyway, what he was doing, he was putting some kind of a device. It looked like, you know, like what do you call them, like a puck. What are they, you know, like they use in sports, you know, that kind of shape was like a puck. They use in ice hockey. Is that right? I think it's called that. So they were putting them, you know, about this big. You know, a good size like that, and they were putting them on people's arms, and it was almost like it was magnetic. It was just sticking to their arms, and I'm thinking now, that's interesting. Has it got anything to do with the, you know, the thing that people were made to have in their arms? Because apparently it's got some magnetic material in that. I won't speak further on that, obviously, because got to be careful. I don't know if there's a connection right there, why it's stuck or not. I don't know, but it was sticking to these people's arms, and then all of a sudden, what, this soldier was speaking English. I can't remember if he was English or he was foreign, as I mentioned before, and he was able to speak English. I can't remember, but he was basically trying to keep order in this little camp thing. And he was saying, look, you know, if you don't calm down, if you don't keep quiet, you know, then you're going to set off this thing that's on your arm, and you're not going to like it. Something on the lines of that. So it worked. A lot of people kept quiet, but the ones that didn't, they were hysterical. And this bit's quite, you might want to edit this out, but you know, all of a sudden I watched in front of my eyes was this. There were a few people, and but basically, I don't know how it happened, but they just basically exploded into a million pieces everywhere. It was everywhere. Then, of course, more people were freaking out, and then before you know it, there were two more just exploding. I don't know. It's very strange, that part. So then I remember I said to my daughter, I says, whatever you do, do not give eye contact to anyone. Just stay with me and always look at me. I said to her, don't, because I said, obviously I must have taught her and said to her before this was going to happen, you know, whatever you do, do not show fear. Try your hardest, do not show fear. Don't give eye contact, just keep your head down, follow orders. And I panicked. I was like, where is she? I couldn't see. And I managed to see her, and she was just panicking at that point. And then I managed to squeeze through and grab her, and then we were obviously back together. Then I kind of dragged her to the other end of this gated area. And I said to her, I says, right, we need to get out of here ASAP. And I said to her, I need you to stand at the front of me, and I need you to keep eyes everywhere, and let me know as soon as you see a soldier. Let me know. And she was just like, you know, nodding, like, yeah, okay. And I knew we had to be super quick. So then what I did is then I got on my hands and knees, and I was literally just digging this sludge and this mud with my hands to try and create a hole big enough. I remember doing it because it just kept falling back down, and I had to be faster and faster and just keep digging and digging and digging and digging until there was a big enough hole. So then I quickly grabbed my daughter, and I said, took her backpack off, says, you need to get under, squeeze. She got under quite easily, and then I remember I pushed her backpack under, and then it was my turn to squeeze under. I squeezed under, but I kind of got stuck. And then I remember my daughter was like just dragging me, but I managed to get through. And then I managed to grab my backpack. As soon as I did that, I heard shouting from one of the guards, one of the military men, and they came rushing over. But then me and my daughter then was just like freaking out. We just literally grabbed each other's hands and we legged it. We ran as fast as we could through one of the little woodland areas that was in front of us, and we just kept running and running and running. I didn't even look back. I just didn't. We just ran. And then all of a sudden, we was now in a different area of the village where I live. And I remember looking around, and all I could see was rubble. It looked like World War III. I don't think it was World War III, but it, you know, it kind of looked like that. There was just dust everywhere. There were some buildings that were partially, I guess, just knocked down, if you like. And I could hear in front of me in one of the houses a distant cry. So I followed the cry, and there was this elderly woman. I have no idea how they missed her. I mean, I'm glad that they missed her, but she was there, and bless her heart, she was absolutely just terrified. She was shaking, she was crying, she was like, my family, my family. And I said to her, I says, you need to come with me. We need to go somewhere safe. She was in shock, and she couldn't move. She was just hysterical. And she says, no, I have to stay. I says, no, we need to go. We need to go now. Fortunately, I couldn't convince her to come with me, and me and my daughter had to continue wherever it was we were continuing going. But anyway, and I woke up, and yeah, it was a very powerful, profound experience. And then just what, and again, this was 8 or so years ago, and just watching how things were unfolding, and what's happening in Europe right now, and we're having all these illegal, you know, immigrants, and these people of working age, you know, fit and healthy men, you know, no children, no women, just men. Being kept in these hotels. The government are paying these hotel employers, or the, you know, people that own the hotel, thousands, millions of pounds sometimes to house these immigrants. And I've just been seeing over the years, you know, people trying, you know, normal British people trying to get into these hotels, and they're not allowed access. And so there's a lot of secrecy going on. There's something big going on. There's something unraveling. There's they're coming in, They're still coming in. Our Keir Starmer, whatever his name is, he's allowing them in, and he's not stopping anytime soon. And they're coming in by the hundreds by the month, in the month, every month. And there's no room. Honestly, if we have any more, England's going to sink. This little island's going to sink. It's ridiculous. And they're not peaceful. There's stabbings every day now, James. Stabbings, children, women, girls being gang stalked, being violated. We have to be careful in the most worst ways by multiple men at times. I'm talking 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, children. They're being, they're walking around with machetes, severing heads. It like you know, you obviously you've been following what's been going on, and that now they're arriving in Ireland. They've got like it almost looks like FEMA camps, and it's just there's something brewing. That's all I'm going to say. There's something brewing. I don't want to share this to create fear. I've obviously been shown this for a reason. Many souls such as myself here, whether you want to call yourself a medium, a psychic, a light worker, a starseed, whatever, it doesn't matter. We're all here, and we are kind of giving heads up. We're kind of giving the memo of potential timelines that may happen or may not happen. Timelines can and do change, but it's not to create fear. People say, "Well, you fear mongering, it's this, that, and the other." It's like, no, we're trying to soften the blow, because if this timeline happens, then yes, it's going to be scary, but I've got the chills now as I'm just channeling this energy. It's at least be you can be prepared and have a plan, a backup, at least not be so shocked and know, okay, yes, I remember X, Y, and Z talking about this, and wow, something's happening, or it, again, if it happens. So it's not to create fear. It's again, it's to help. It's just to help, prepare people. And if they don't want to believe anything that I have to say, or if anyone like me has to say, then that's absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. We all have free will. But, if, like I say, there's so many potential timelines that can happen, and that's one of them. So basically, from what I've gathered from this timeline, from that experience which I shared with you, it's basically a takeover. We are a bit like what they used to do many, many years ago. Maybe you can help me out with this, James, with its proper wording and stuff. But it's basically a taker. It's a takeover. They're pushing us out. They're destroying us. They're trying to kill us. It's depopulation, and the remaining people. So I guess it's the survival of the fittest, if you like. They've got plans for them. And I'll leave it at that for now, because that's all that I'm kind of figured out and tied, kind of making sense of in my experience and experiences and, and other little visions and experiences I've had. But if I can give you something positive, after all this shit storm, excuse my French, after whatever's going to unfold, there is going to be light at the end of the tunnel. Because I've seen it, I've had visions, and I'm not the only one. I had a vision on this particular day. I was sat in front of my TV, watching just some random rubbish on the TV. All of a sudden, the only way to explain it is I went into some kind of a trance-like state, almost like dissociation, which I get a lot. Now, if you go to the doctors and say, "I'm just dissociating a lot," and say, "Oh, it's trauma, it's this mental health, it's that mental, it's dissociative identity," whatever they want to call it. But so I went into a trance, I dissociated, and then all of a sudden, in my mind's eye, well, first of all, I wasn't in my house, I wasn't on my sofa, that was a blur, that wasn't there. And in my mind, I saw clear as day, and I'm glad that I'm mentioning this, because it's just going to give humanity that little bit of hope and faith to keep pushing forward, keep speaking your truth, keep fighting, because light always comes out on top. Always does. The darkness always gets highlighted, and what you're seeing right now unfold on the planet, it's not technically unfolding, it's always existed. The evil that our world leaders and deep states and governments and everything, all these groups, all the crap that we are hearing about and going to continue hearing about. So be prepared, guys, because We haven't heard nothing yet, and I'm talking about, certain things that they're up to. I have to be careful with what I say. But there's a lot of crimes on this planet right now that involves minors. A lot of operations and groups and a lot of things going on underground, things that have been going on and happening for generations. So to people that are newly awakening, they're like, what's going on? The Earth, the planet's going crazy. And it's like, no, the thing is, it's always been happening. It's just what we're seeing now is the light is highlighting the darkness and it's pushing it up to the surface for us all to see. So then we can start understanding and realizing and waking up and snapping out of this, mass mind control, MK Ultra, that we've all been under. We've all been under a state of hypnosis. And what's happening is we're waking up and we're realizing, holy beep. Wow, what's going on? And they're starting to realize that these people, our world leaders, the elites, whatever you want to call them, they're starting to realize that actually, yeah, they've been screwing us over and they never did have our best interests at heart. In fact, all they've been doing is just, making problems and, manipulating us all along. But anyway, it's amazing to see that people are waking up. And it's important because we still need, despite what's unfolding on the planet and what is to unfold, we still need to have that hope. We still need to have faith. Whether we understand it or not, we still need to have that. And so anyway, let's move forward with my vision.
Yeah,
So
that's
yeah,
a
so
good time to take a break here. Thank you for sharing that. And a
yeah.
quick point about that. I've had similar, somewhat similar futuristic potential timeline dreams, futuristic timeline dreams, and similar themes, war situation, invasions, foreign troops, and sometimes seeing high-tech detainment systems set up, so to speak, that require that don't require walls or fences or barbed wire, but just like energy, the kind of like an invisible electrified fence in a way, right? I mean, just rolling out all this stuff to subjugate the masses. So we'll get into more of this because we're just getting started. Could you let our listeners know and viewers know how they can find your work, Zola?
So I've got a YouTube channel, James. You mentioned it earlier. I'm sure you did. Yeah, you did. So I have a YouTube channel. It's a new channel and it's called Starseed Voyager. And so on there I actually share my experiences and any downloads or channeled information and visions. I share all of that on my channel. And in a sense, I'm kind of doing a little bit of what James is doing as well. So even though I'm sharing my experiences and sharing, my visions and channel messages and things like that, I also offer my channel as a safe platform for others who wish to come on and share their experiences. Because together we work together, we can help awaken humanity faster and also help them, kind of piece the dots and make connections with their own experiences. Because if you had saw me, say, 8 years ago, sharing these experiences, I wouldn't have understood on a deeper level what was actually going on and what it actually meant. And so many people are still are at that beginning stages of like, well, I'm having these weird dreams. I'm being taken at night. There seems to be like familiar themes going on in their experiences, and they think they're crazy or they think it's all in their head. And so with people like me and James, sharing our experiences and James having other people on his channel sharing their experiences, we come together and we start noticing that there is, we're not crazy. We didn't just make this up from thin air. There generally is something going on. There is a theme, there is a pattern, there is this strong connection. And then we start to build a bigger picture. We see the almost complete puzzle in front of us, and then we're like, oh, okay, this is what's going on, And so yeah, if you're interested in listening to my experiences, just head over to my YouTube channel and you'll see quite a few videos there. And I've still got a lot of experiences to also get out there on my channel, but my higher self, if you like, is kind of holding me back because it's not quite the right time to share some of the heavier things. I mean, I will share some of the things with James at some point that I've also already shared on my channel, but there is quite a few experiences that have actually just happened quite recently that I haven't actually shared yet. So I probably might share with you, James, maybe on the break. But yeah,
No,
it's just
that'd be great. Whatever you're
yeah.
comfortable sharing. And for our dear listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.